And how's everyone doing this morning? I'm excited to be here. That was great worship, wasn't it? Amen, amen. I began to really read this passage. I don't know why I was reading it. But then I got my answer. It's the book of Ruth. No, it's not going to be about romance or nothing like that. That's why the ladies love it. It's not about that today. So calm down. Ruth chapter 1. Beginning at verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and they wept. This is Ruth, Orpah, and Naomi. They lifted up their voices, they wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. Then he said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you stay or lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me as worse if anything but death parts you and me." Talk about loyalty, amen? When she saw that, she was determined to go with her. She said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. The Lord God has been harsh to me," is what Naomi was telling the people. Can you relate to God being a little harsh in your life? Chapter 4, verse 13. The end of the story says this: "So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife and went with her. The Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then all the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed is the Lord who has not left you, who has not left you without a redeemer today.'" Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that it makes sense and that we understand it and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we read this passage, I want to tell you how this sermon came about in my mind and in my heart. On Monday mornings, I usually pray and ask the Lord sometime during the week. I say, "Lord, in your time, reveal your word for Sunday. I need to know what you want me to tell your people." And oftentimes, a word will just come to me, whether I'm driving or I'm reading the Bible, and I say, "Man, that's interesting. I think I'll study it and I'll preach it." That's how sermon prep goes in my mind, in my life. But this week was different because on Monday morning, I was in a hurry and I prayed to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I pray this week that you would bless me with your word and prepare me for Sunday." And Monday night, I had a funeral to conduct. And it was a big funeral too. So I'm there conducting this funeral service. I'm preaching there. I'm telling people about life and how short it is, and how they need to know the Lord. And I'm preaching all of this, which I thought was a great eulogy. And then after the service was over, the day after was the burial. And as I'm conducting the burial, and that was over, as I'm about to leave, there was a certain young lady there that comes up to me, and she just started talking to me about the service and everything. And she had a question. She said, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." No, but what do you do for a living? Like, what do you do?" And I was like, "I'm a pastor." "So that's your job? It's like your job." And I said, "Yes, that's my job." And I didn't know the Lord was preparing something here. And as we're talking, she said, "So you get paid?" I said, "Well, yeah, barely, but yeah, I do." And we're talking. And she said, well, that's nice. That's nice. That's nice that you do that, that you help others and you're helping the world and you're feeding. I don't know how she threw that in there. And you're feeding people and all this stuff. And I was like, okay. And then she said to me something that really just, it could have offended me. It could have gotten me angry. I could have been upset about it. This is what she said. It might upset you, so calm down. She said, well, that's nice that you do that. I couldn't do that. And I thought she was going to say, I couldn't do that because it requires a lot of studying and a lot of work and people and public speaking and all of that. No, she said, I couldn't do that because, you know, I want to be successful. She said this. She said, I want to be successful and I like nice things and cars and careers. And then she said, so God bless you. Like almost feeling sorry for me. That I'm serving God. That I'm preaching. And she felt like, I don't know, like if I was some kind of charity case or something. And she was like, I want to be successful. And at that moment, I had to remind myself that I was a pastor. And a Christian at that. I had to remind myself that people were watching. But the devil said, you know, you're in a graveyard. You can bury it right here. No one will ever find her. You know, things like that. And I let it go. But I got to tell you, I let it go, but I didn't really let it go. You ever let something go, but you haven't really let it go? I could not let go of that idiotic comment. I want to be successful. So all week long, I'm here praying. I said, Lord, I need a message for Sunday. And I'm thinking about this woman. I'm thinking about what she said. And I'm thinking, why am I not angry? Why am I not upset? Why am I not just feeling this? Why? I should be mad at her. That was so rude. Amen? That was rude. And the Lord just put in my spirit, as David, it's because you really feel sorry for her. And he was right. So I'm driving there in the week. I said, man, you know what? I feel bad for her. I feel bad for this woman. I feel bad for people that think like this woman. Because she has a worldview of success and not a God view of success. And a worldview of success is wealth, it's relationships and love, it's being influential, having status, it's talent, it's possession, it's having stability and security, and that's how the world views you as successful. So the fact is that when you have all of these things and you have all of these possessions and you have all of these accomplishments and you have a relationship and someone to love and someone that loves you and you have money and you have all of this, the world says, wow, you are successful. But God would disagree. Jesus told a story of a man that was rich in the Bible. And the Bible says that he was tearing down his land. He was tearing down the barns. He was trying to fit all of this stuff in. He said, I have all this stuff and nowhere to put it. I have all this money. I don't know what to do with. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate when you have so much money that you don't know what to do with it? I hate that. Well, this is what this guy was complaining about. Man, life is hard. I have so much money. I have too many cars, not enough garages. I mean, wow. And God tells this man, you're a fool. Because this very night, you're going to die. And then who's going to have all your stuff? All the things that make you feel successful, you're going to leave behind. And you're going to give it away to someone else. And then what? And I thought to myself, man, this is why I feel bad for this woman, because I'm literally in a graveyard. I'm telling her about life and death and eternity and Jesus, and she has the nerve to tell me she doesn't want that type of success. No, she wants success through the eyes of the world. The truth is, there are so many people, even in church, that right now, you might have this worldview of success. And you might think that in order for me to be successful, I need the job, I need the spouse, I need the car, I need the property, I need the experience and the status, I need the security. This is what makes me feel like I'm successful. And it may be impressive to the world, but it doesn't impress God. The fact is, if that's you today, I feel sorry for you as well. Because there's so many people that struggle with feeling like they're failures. And you're here in church and you feel like you're not successful and you failed in life because you're not married yet. You don't have the career yet. You don't have the house yet. You haven't done this yet. You don't have the power. You don't have the status. You're not influential. And you have adopted this mindset that you're a failure. And you feel down about yourself and you feel discouraged and you think, I wish I was more successful. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God says you can't even be more successful than you are right now. You can't be more successful than what you are right now. So as I'm in my car and I'm thinking about this, I said, Lord, I feel sorry for them. And in my time alone with God, I don't know why I read the book of Ruth. And I got it. Naomi in the book of Ruth, through the world's eyes, she was a failure. She lost her house. There was a famine in the land. She lost her house and she went to Moab. And when she went to Moab, she lost her husband. So now she has no house and no man. And because in that culture you had no man, therefore you had no money. So in one day it's like she lost her home, she lost her spouse, she had no money, and she had no kids because they died too. And in that culture, if you did not have children to carry on your name, you were deemed a failure. So the Lord was showing me that through the world's eyes, if you looked at Naomi, you would have called her a failure. Because she lost everything. The fact is, for Naomi, life was hard. Life was never easy for her. Everyone else seemed to get breaks. Everyone else was happy. But when you look at Naomi, it was like a dark cloud was always over her. And life was hard on her. It got to the point that in verse 20, life was so hard for Naomi. After losing her house, her friends, her job, her husband, her kids, her everything, her security, everything that we call successful, she lost. She lost stability. She lost relationships. She lost homes. She lost money. She lost everything. She lost her success. And in verse 20, the Bible says that as she's going back home to see if she can survive, and she's leaving Moab, her old friends see her and said, hey, isn't this Naomi? And they got excited. They were all stirred, the Bible said. They were happy to see her. And they all went, hey, Naomi, Naomi, how are you? Hey, it's Naomi. Hey, everyone, Naomi's back. And Naomi, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. That's the old me. You know that the word Naomi in the Hebrew means pleasant? So she literally said to everyone, don't expect me to be pleasant. Because some people, when life gets hard, they lose that pleasant attitude. And some of you, life is so hard, you feel justified in becoming an angry person. I know I'm preaching to you. Life is so stressful that you feel like you can mistreat people. And life is just so difficult, you become difficult. Can I get a witness? If not, your neighbor's the one. Say, that's you. Point them. Naomi lost herself. And she told the people, don't call me that anymore. Call me Mara. And the word Mara in the Hebrew means bitter. So she's literally warning the people, I'm not that person anymore. If you like sweet, pleasant Naomi, she's dead. This is the new me. I'm bitter. I'm angry. Because God, and she blames God, because God has been harsh on me. God has dealt with me bitterly. So if God has dealt with me bitterly, then I'm going to be a bitter person. And Naomi just told everyone, I'm bitter towards God. Because I went to Moab thinking that life would be better, but it got worse. Has life gotten worse for you? Have things gone under for you? She said, God did this. God took my children away from me. God took my husband away from me. God took my home away from me. And ever since then, my life has been nothing but hard, and it's impossible to be pleasant. Because some of you think that being a pleasant person only means when life is good, and it's impossible for you to be a joy or a joy to be around with when life is hard. You don't know God. The Bible is clear here that Naomi said, I'm bitter. And so many of us feel like Naomi. It's tough to be pleasant. It's tough to be nice. It's tough to be happy when your life is so hard, or let's be honest, unfair. And God has made other people's lives better than yours. And it feels like you can't get a break. And all you go through is setbacks and letdowns and failures. Then you relate exactly to Naomi. But Naomi shows me a warning. Sometimes life can get so hard, so difficult, and so unfair because of what you've gone through, what you've lost, what you haven't gained, or because of the success you've lost. Life can become so bitter for you that if you're not careful, you can lose yourself in your problems. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Naomi lost herself, her identity, in the problems. See, because if your identity is in the success through the world's view, if your identity is in a job, when you lose that job, you lose yourself. If your identity is in a spouse, like Naomi, when you lose that spouse, you lose yourself. If your identity is in your children, and you lose your children because they get married, they leave, whatever, you lose yourself. I don't know who I am without them. I don't know what I am without this. If you say, I don't know who I am without, and then the answer is not God, you have a wrong view of success. Naomi got so attached to worldly success. She got so attached to the husband and the kids and the house and the security, financial security and stability, that when it was all gone, she went with it. And she lost herself in the problems. See, a lot of people lose themselves when they can say, man, back in the day, I used to be happier. I used to have more joy. I had more peace. I used to like people. But lately, because I've gone through this, that's not me anymore. Then you have allowed yourself to lose yourself in the problems of life. Because we get so attached to worldly success. You lose yourself and you get discouraged because you don't have something. You feel afraid because you don't have this. Or you feel devalued because you haven't achieved something yet. Maybe because everyone else has it and you don't, you feel like a failure. If your success is in a spouse or a relationship, kids or money or a job, career, car, house, clothes, whatever, you've lost yourself. Because when Naomi lost her relationships, her financial security, her home, she lost also the greatest thing of all, herself. She deemed herself a failure. You go to bed at night thinking, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. Because I don't have X amount in the bank. I'm a failure tonight because I have no one to go to sleep with. I'm a failure today because my kids are not the brightest in class. They're not the brightest, period. I'm a failure because I don't have this status. I don't have this influence. I don't have the nicest. Some of you feel like you're a failure as parents because you're not sending your kids off to the best schools. You're not giving them the best clothing. But listen, if you're giving them a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're the most successful parent I've ever seen. Don't deem yourself a failure because the world says it. Don't deem yourself a failure because you haven't achieved something, you don't own something, you don't have something or someone. That's worldly success. And the Bible says that worldly success perishes. The fact is, I felt sorry for her because she felt sorry for me. You mean you feel sorry for me because I'm serving God? Girl, I feel sorry for you because you're not. Naomi got bitter. So she's heading back home. A failure. Because she left home. She went to Moab to get a better life. And it didn't work. So she's having to face everyone. This is the worst. It's like you leaving Miami to follow your dreams. And you come back a year later and say, wow, nothing worked out. She's doing a walk of shame. She's like, has her head down. She said, man, what am I going to tell people when they ask me, how was Moab? She told the people, I left full. I came back empty. You know why? Because she left to go to a place she should not have gone to anyway. And some of you, if you have to leave God to find success, you're going to come back more empty. Mark my words. In the search for success, you've left church. In the search for success, you've left your God and you stopped reading, you stopped praying, you stopped walking with the Lord because you've just had money on your mind or career or whatever. You're going to come back more empty like Naomi declared. I left full and I came back empty because God was letting her know you should never have left at all. But she was so caught up in worldly success, she did not care about leaving God. I never heard the story of Ruth this way. It's in the Bible. Moab was a wicked place that God says, don't even mingle with them. What are you doing buying property there, Naomi? She didn't trust God. She didn't trust God, so she left. So she's coming back now because God sometimes has a way of getting you back and says, hey, how was your success? Was that fun, Naomi, huh? So she's walking and she's telling everyone, man, it's hard. And she's bitter towards God, but she's the one that left them. You're mad at God, but how's your relationship with him? You're mad at God, but you're the one that left them, Naomi. Not you guys, you know, I'm talking about Naomi. So she's bitter. And as she's walking, she's feeling the failures of life. And what is she going to tell people? Because isn't that why we ultimately want success? Because we want people to be impressed by us? Isn't that why you buy the most expensive and wear the nicest and live under the best and do these things so that you can post it on your social media? Why do you post on social media? Oh, people need to know I'm awesome. If that's your thing, that's great, fine. But see, she's ashamed because she's having to tell people now, I'm not a success. I don't have a husband. I don't have kids. I don't have a house. I don't have money. And she's actually going back home to go to the fields and pick up leftovers from people to try to survive. It's embarrassing. And maybe today you feel like you're a failure because you're not thriving, you're surviving. And you're barely getting by. That's Naomi now. She's just trying to survive. She's trying to make it. Can I talk about Ruth? She's here too. Ruth is also another failure. She's trying to survive too. She lost her husband too. She has no kids either. She has no financial stability either. So she is just as much as a failure. In the world's eyes, by the way. So she's out in the field, the embarrassing field, with all the other people that can't make it or are getting by. And she's just hoping that she can get something from someone. It's hard when you have to live dependent on someone. So she's there in the field, embarrassed, trying to pick up the leftovers from people that leave it on the ground. Because the Bible says that if your crop fell on the ground, you couldn't pick it back up because that was left for those widows who did not have provision. So Ruth, the failure, is at the field trying to survive, living a life of failure to the world's eyes, not knowing that she's in the right place at the right time because God has a plan to give her success in His eyes and through His eyes only. God wants to give her success, but not the way the world does. There are two Moabite women. These women, as these two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, they both have the same struggle. Why is this important? You're not the only one struggling. It may feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through, but you have an Orpah too in your life. There's someone out there going through what you're going through. They're both from Moab. They both lost their husbands. They both have no financial stability. They both have failures. They both have no future. They both have the same problems. You got it? Same struggles, same failures. But only Ruth, in the end of the story, got out successful and blessed. Ruth went from picking in the field to owning the field. Did you guys know that? Because she had no idea that that very field she was picking from belonged to single hot Boaz. That's God. God has a hot man waiting for you. You just got to wait. I don't know if that's the word for today. But some of you are like, ooh, amen, yes. But on all the fields, God led her to the only field belonging to a man who was looking. So she's there picking up. You know how you ladies do it. It's the bend and snap, you know. She knows it. The bend and snap has been there forever. But anyway, I was reading the whole book of Ruth and I said, Ruth, you came out a winner. Because in the beginning, you had no husband, no income, no house, nothing. You're picking up in the field that's meant for survivors. And fast forward a few chapters, girl, you own the field now? You're the boss lady now? She moved up. Now she has the man. Now she has the stability. Now she has everything that God gave her. And I said to myself, God, what did Ruth do to get this type of worldly success through you? And you say, no way, Pastor. You said worldly success was bad. No, I didn't. I just said it wasn't everything. So stay with me. You're about to get your mind blown. Ruth and Orpah were in a crossroad. So Naomi gets the girls together and says, listen, I'm leaving. I want you guys to stay here, get remarried, live your life, but I'm leaving. And Ruth said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay faithful to you. And Orpah said, bye. Gone. You know why? Well, Orpah represents those that are only with you for what you can give them. That's why they're not in your life anymore. Because you stop giving. Some of you have Orpahs in your life. The Bible says they left us because they were never among us. That's why Orpah, the last thing on her mind was Naomi and God and others. The first thing on her mind was her success. And some people are all about their success. They're willing to leave you. And their selfishness and their own successful pursuit, they have abandoned you. They didn't care about your needs, your feelings, your children, your home, your nothing. In Jesus' name, like Naomi did, let them go. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't need them. Let Orpah go. I love Naomi because she is, maybe because she's so bitter, I don't know, but Naomi is so strong, the Bible never records that she begged Orpah to stay. Did you guys catch that? She never said, I don't know what I'll do without you. The minute Orpah was like, I'm out because I need myself a man. I need myself provision. I need my own success. Naomi was like, bye. And Ruth was like, I need it too. But I'm going to trust God for it. And until then, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to be loyal to you. And Naomi said nothing else to say, let's go, girl. We got some fields to pick. We got some surviving to do. And they survived together. And God said, I see you, girl. Ooh. Ooh. God gets goosebumps. When life is so hard, you still want to serve Him and others. Woo! God's like, woo! Oh, He told the angels that day, oh, we got to bless her! We got to bless Ruth. Did you see that? That girl had a chance to leave and fend for herself. Naomi even said, you're still young and pretty. That's why God's like, this is really awesome, because she could have gone back and did her thing, but she didn't. She's committed and loyal because God honors commitment and loyalty. See, Orpah in her mind was worldly success. But Ruth, in her mind, was godly. And Pastor, what is godly success? Simple. Serving God. And serving others. See, I could have told that lady in the funeral, I'm more successful than you think, because I'm here in this funeral because I love God and I serve Him and I'm serving others. I didn't. We need to pray for her. But I'm talking to you right now. Did you walk into this church feeling like a failure? What, because you don't have the man? You don't have Boaz? You don't have the field, the property, you don't have the home, you don't have the nice things. Do you really think that what makes you a person? Have you lost your mind and yourself in worldly success? Orpah just left to do it on her own. See, because you cannot expect God to bless you if you want to do it on your own. Let me close with this verse for you guys. Because maybe you came to this church and the last thing on your mind is serving God and loving others. Serving God and being loyal to others. But if you want God to truly bless you, it starts with that. The Word of God says in Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek what? Seek first, set your mind first on the kingdom and His righteousness. And here's the takeaway. And all these things will be added to you. You know what God says here? You know how we twist this around? We go after things first and God later. But God says, it's okay to want worldly success. It is. There's nothing wrong with wanting the nice job, wanting to be married and having kids and having the house. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that's all your life is about and it's all you set your mind on, that becomes wrong. So God says, seek me first. And I will add these things, the worldly success, to you. But I have to be first in your life. See, Ruth didn't know it. But before Matthew 6 was written, 2,000 years later, girl was living it. She didn't know that she was setting herself up for worldly success when she first set herself for godly success. She had no idea that when she said, your God is now my God, that at that moment she got under the authority of God and gave her life to God. And she didn't even know it, but when she got under God and said, your God is my God, naturally that she said after, now your people are my people. So she said, my life is now about God and others. And she never made it about her like Oprah did. See, God says, when your mind is on me and your mind is on others, my mind is on you. But when your mind is on you and not God and not others, God can't do anything for you. You guys get this? Because Ruth said, God, you're my God. And I'll serve you and I'll serve your people. I don't care if I've lost my spouse. I don't care if I lost my family. I don't care if I have no. I don't care if I have this. I don't care, Lord. All I know, Lord, is right now life is hard. Life has been bitter towards us. But Lord, you will be my God first and people will be second. That's why God got the goosebumps. That's why God looked down from heaven and said, here's a person I'm obligated to bless. Because in the midst of her greatest need, she said, God first. God is my God. His people are my people. She never talked about herself and her needs. But sadly, it doesn't happen right away. It may seem like that when we read the book of Ruth, like overnight, God blessed her, but no. Because I'll tell you, maybe you're saying, Pastor, God is my God. And I put God first, but it feels like He's dealt with me harder. Maybe you're here, and I've seen a lot of this lately. Ever since I started serving God, my life's been harder. It makes no sense. Ever since I gave my life to Jesus, my life got worse. But that's because God is getting ready to do something better. But He's just testing your character like He did with Ruth. Because both Oprah and Ruth went through the same test. Do you know that I believe that if Oprah would have said, your God will be my God too, and your people will also be my people, I believe God would have blessed her too. But she ventured on to achieve her own success without God. You cannot have success without God. You want a successful marriage? Put God in it. You want successful children? Put God in it. You want a successful financial life? Put God in it. Put God first, and that area will be blessed. Put God first. Ruth just said, your God is my God now. So she said, God, you're mine now. I'm yours. She surrendered to God. And your people are my people. Lord, I'll serve you and I'll serve people. It's not about me anymore. Because when you're about God, you're not about you. That's the truth. Anyway, let me finish this. So, I imagine Ruth is in the field. Man, she's doing the bend and snap for years. She's like getting nothing, you know? Does it ever feel like you're doing it right, but everything's coming out wrong? So Ruth is like in the field and she's picking up the scraps and leftovers and she's embarrassed and life is hard and her back hurts every day. She comes home tired from working the fields all day, and as she's picking up, the devil must have told her, this is what it means to live for God. And I'm sure the devil told her, you know, Oprah's married already. You know, Oprah got a family. She has kids already. She's blessed. You should have gone with her. You ever feel a devil do that? You happen to stumble on the wrong Facebook page? Amen? And you're just like, why then not me? Because he's trying to compare you to Oprah. Be careful. And she's there picking up and she's tired. Because it doesn't happen right away. And some of you, it hasn't happened yet. You're saying, I've been serving God. I've been putting God first in others. And I have nothing to show for it. But God is not a liar. And He will bless you. And as He's trying to survive, some of you, I declare in the name of Jesus, you're going to go from surviving to thriving. But you have to be patient. And you have to serve God and others. So even though life is hard, keep serving, girl. Keep serving. You're going to see God move. She's wondering, did I make the right choice? Should I have stayed in Moab? But one day, as she did her last bend and snap, God opened the eyes of Boaz. Boaz, there's your wife. And the Bible says that Boaz and her got married. They had a child that started the lineage of David that ultimately would go on to serve Jesus Christ. Ruth had no idea that through her struggle, through her surviving, because some of you are on survival mode right now, and you're saying, Pastor, I'm tired. Keep serving. Because something good is coming out of this. Something so impossible, because it was impossible for a Moabite girl to marry an Israelite man, and even more impossible that through them would come the Savior of the world. So maybe right now, because of what you're looking in your circumstances, you're saying it's impossible. But all things are possible with God. That's why you need to get with Him. So there she is. Her wedding day. There she is as later on she's holding that child. She has financial security. She has relationships. She has everything she lost. Why? Because God will restore what you've lost and add to it. That's why Naomi declared there, everyone told her, Blessed are you. You know, the world is going to look at you someday and declare, man, you are blessed. What did you do? Well, you don't know the fields I had to pick. You don't know the nights of loneliness. You don't know the survival I have to go through to get this blessing. Because oftentimes we want the blessings of others, but we don't know what they went through to get it. Let me calm down because I'm getting too excited. Because I know some of you are about to thrive. But you got to be patient. And the Lord is putting in my heart someone here. It's interesting because Naomi, she did the wrong thing by going to Moab. It was a mistake. Some of you, you've made the biggest mistakes of your life. That's why you feel success is far from you. God can never make you successful because of your past, because of what you did. I mean, I'm telling you right now in this room, there is guilt, there's condemnation, there's regret, like Naomi. But did you notice that even God used Moab to find a Moabite woman to bring back to Israel, to reach the right man, so that 2,000 years later will come the Savior of the world? Because God can still use your greatest failure. God can still bless you. God can still use it. But you have to do what Ruth did. No matter who you are, no matter what the world says, if you make God your God and surrender your life to Him and serve others, God will turn to you and bless you beyond what you've ever imagined. But you have to keep Him first. It's not just putting Him first. I believe we need to preach it this way. Keep Him first. Because when you're in the fields and you're tired, it's hard to put Him first. And you're tempted to go back with Oprah. But God says, stay in the fields. Keep on picking. Girl, keep bending, keep snapping. Because the blessing is coming in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and let's pray today if you're here today. You're saying, Pastor, I am in the fields right now. I'm surviving. You will go from surviving to thriving only if, like Ruth, you say, God, you're my God now. And you put God first. Some of you need to give your life to Jesus right now. Because it's not about worldly success. All of that goes away. God can give it to you. But it's not what life is about. So as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I came into this church and I'm telling you, I feel like a failure. I feel like a failure because I don't have all the money. I don't have the relationship. I don't have the status. I don't have this. I don't have that. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the greatest success of all. If you don't have all of that stuff, but you're putting God first and you're serving Him, you are successful in the eyes of the Lord. And because of that, He will in turn bless you. But right now, He's testing you in the fields. So you're either Oprah, and life is about you, or you're going to be like Ruth. And life is about Him and others. You never hear about Oprah anymore. Gone. But Ruth, we still talk about. Because that's called a legacy. And if you want to lead a legacy, put God first. If you're listening to me online or now I'm talking to you, you are not a failure. You're not, maybe you've lost yourself in all of that stuff, but today you can find yourself in Christ. If this is you today, you put that hand up and say, Pastor, this is me. I want to give my life and make God first in my life to Jesus Christ. God bless you. I see your hands there. If you're online, you pray this with me. You say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins as I put you first. Father, you will be my God as I surrender to you. Take me as I am and forgive me for all my ways in Jesus' name. And if you're here today, I want to pray with you. If you're saying, God is my God, but lately I've been about myself. lately I've been acting a little Oprah-ish. I've been a little selfish. Just repent of that. So forgive me for deeming myself a failure because I don't have success through the eyes of the world. Forgive me for taking for granted the success I do have in you. And trust God, because He is now your God. And if God made a way through the failures of Naomi and through the impossible odds of Ruth, God can also make a way for you. Just put Him first again. And in my heart, I want to pray for anyone here today who feels the pain of abandonment, who feels the pain because someone here today, you have an Orpah in your life, that in the eyes of success and selfishness, they hurt you, they left you to survive. It's time for you to let them go. Because God now God is your caretaker. The word of God said that the people looked at Naomi and said, "Blessed are you, for the Lord has not left you." I know life is hard, life is harsh, but the Lord has not left you. And the Lord will bless you, so much so that the world will see it. But you have to keep bending and keep snapping. Come on. Keep working. Keep serving. Keep putting God first. You're tired. You're in pain. It's hard being out in the field. It's hard thinking about the others that have life so much easier. It's hard to think you could have been like Orpah and made it so much easier. But right now, if you're in the field, right now God is getting ready to set you up to thrive. But first, you're in survival mode. That's all it is. But you're going to survive and thrive because that's what God is all about. Father, in the name of Jesus, for anyone here surviving, for anyone here abandoned, for anyone here tired, we know that you are God and you are the God of our mistakes and failures. You are the God of our impossibilities. So no matter what we face, what we've done, you can bring about something good. So I pray, Lord, as we seek you first and as this church seeks you first, we know, Lord, you're going to take us from surviving to thriving and the world will see it. Because right now we're going to declare blessing is coming. This church has been bending and snapping for 8 years, God. Right now, I believe we are passing the test and God's about to bless you and I. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed that.